Local Marketing for Small Business, episode 78.
And there's no stopping us right now. I feel so close to you right now.
Welcome to Act Local, Marketing for Small Business with your host, Kaylin Amadio. Kaylin helps smart, savvy, and motivated business owners like you kick it up a notch online, even if you've tried and been disappointed before, or technology just isn't your thing. Act Local will leave you with more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives you the power to bring your business to the next level. Whether you need help with online media, social media, video, or mobile marketing, Act Local will guide you into the 21st century with easy tips, tricks, and techniques that get your local business seen and heard. Each week, Kaylin features a new tip you can use today, as well as a range of guest experts who are passionate about helping local business owners thrive. And now here's your host, digital media maven, Kaylin Amadio.
Welcome to Act Local, Marketing for Small Business. This is episode 78, brought to you by the VIP Day. You can check out the VIPday.com, and that's where you will learn how they build your dream business through completely customized branding and marketing suites that they manage to deliver in just 4 weeks. The VIP Day is brought to you by Creative Blue Works. I'm Kaylin Amadio, and I am your team leader here in the ACT Local Marketing Training Room. You don't need to miss a single episode of ACT Local because you can find the podcast feed at actlocalmarketing.com. That is where we post a new lesson every Tuesday afternoon at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. You can listen to any of our training sessions directly there on the website, or please feel free to subscribe and download on iTunes or Stitcher. And if you do have an iTunes account, leave us a review over there at iTunes. Those reviews are very, very, very important to us. Each week, my goal is to help you grow your business. And to do that, I share a lesson plan each week that I call today's takeaway, where I'm going to give you at least one action item that you could take today, this week, implement it in your business, and it'll help you grow that business. Now, today I'm speaking with a friend who has made time for ACT Local Marketing on numerous occasions, and today we'll be looking at the topic of market intelligence and buyer personas. How do you know you're sending the right message to your market? You don't want to miss this discussion, so please stay tuned. In preparing for today's show, I found an online resource from HubSpot. That's HubSpot. HubSpot is an inbound marketing platform that helps you manage and implement your social media, email marketing, SEO, analytics, and marketing automation. Now, I've never actually used it, but I have heard really good things about it and would definitely suggest that you check it out. That's how many people have told me it's great and how many people that whose opinions I value have told me it's great, even though I don't necessarily use it myself. It's absolutely worth you checking out and keeping it on your radar. One of the things HubSpot does really well is they share content that is useful, very useful, and easy to understand, and they do it for free. That's part of their marketing platform. And that's where I came across a PowerPoint presentation on buyer personas. Now, what are buyer personas? According to this presentation, buyer personas are fictional, generalized representations of your ideal customers. They help you understand your customers and prospective customers much better and make it easier for you to tailor content, marketing content, to the specific needs, behaviors, and concerns of different groups within your buying market. The strongest buyer personas are based on market research, as well as on insights that you might gather from your actual customer base through surveys and interviews, things like that. Depending on your business, you could have as few as one or two personas, or as many as 10 or 20 buyer personas. In addition to buyer personas, which are your ideal customers, there's also such a thing as a negative persona. These are the buyers that you want to exclude. In other words, you don't want them as customers. That might be just as important to know, depending on your business. But let's focus on getting the customers that you do want. So how do you create a buyer persona? HubSpot suggests interviewing current clients or customers in person, or it could be over the phone, to find out what they like about your products or services. You also need to know certain personal details like geographical data, demographical data, and even more personal information about their goals, hopes, dreams, challenges. So looking through your current database of clients and identifying some of that data will help you compile a generalized persona of the ideal customer. Let's discuss today's takeaway. I did promise an action item that you could implement right now to further your business goals, so here it is. HubSpot left us with a sample persona, and I'm going to share some of the kinds of information that went into this persona as a base for you to create your own buyer personas. First, give the persona a name, Sam, Sally, whatever you like. Then identify the background information about them, like their job, their career path, family information. Next are demographics about them. Are they male or female? What is their age? What is their income? Where do they live? Things of that nature. Then they suggest marking identifiers about that person, like demeanor. Are they calm or are they high strung? Do they answer their own phone or have an assistant screening calls? What are their communication preferences? This can be very important. Do they prefer phone calls and printed collateral that comes in the mail? Lots of face-to-face meetings? Or are they just as happy or even more happy with email, text messages, video conferencing? You really need to know these things about your ideal customer. Then consider goals. What is your prospect's number one goal? What is a secondary or several secondary goals? Look at their challenges. What's the biggest challenge they face? And what are some of the secondary challenges they face? Once you've identified their goals and challenges, you can define what you can do to help them reach those goals and overcome their challenges. At this stage, you want to also identify common objections that they may have to your products or services. Now, you have enough data to craft marketing messages that describe your solution to this particular buyer persona. Craft an elevator pitch that shows how you help them reach their goals, overcoming their objections, and fixing their biggest challenges. Then you're golden. Who could deny you are the right service provider or you have the perfect product for that ideal customer? Nobody. Nobody could deny it. And that is today's takeaway, courtesy again of thevipday.com. If you have any questions about the lesson today, you know you can send me an email to ask@actlocalmarketing.com. Before I introduce you to my guest, I ask that you connect with me. Go to the website, actlocalmarketing.com. Follow any of the social media links to me so that I can meet you in the social media world. Use the hashtag #ActLocalMarketing if you want to continue any particular conversation you've heard on the podcast. And do me a favor and tell your friends, especially your social media followers, any other networking associates that you have about the podcast. And as I mentioned, it would be wonderful if you subscribed and leave reviews at iTunes. Those reviews really help us get noticed at the iTunes store. Now we're going to take a very quick break. And when we return, Fred McClymans, my very own Smarty McSmartpants, business advisor extraordinaire, is stepping to the front of the room. Stay tuned.
Act Local is the place where busy entrepreneurs like you gain more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives them the power to bring their business to the next level. Kaylin returns after a short break with more strategies and techniques to develop your inner warrior. We'll be right back.
At iKaylin.com, we believe effective marketing requires knowledge of all the systems and tools available. Good marketing takes planning and strategy. The if you build it, they will come approach only works in Hollywood movies, not in the real world, and absolutely not online. You are a real-world business owner, and you need real-world business solutions for your marketing. It doesn't have to be difficult or time-consuming to work. Our Five Secrets strategy allows us to see what your business needs to prosper in the here and now, 21st century world of massive communication challenges. At iKaylin.com, we craft custom strategies for every client that are not too big and not too little, but just right for you, your business, and your budget. Visit iKaylin.com/secrets for a free report that shares what the five secrets to marketing online can do for your business.
So close to you right now.
Welcome to Act Local, marketing for small business with your host, Kaylin Amadio. Kaylin helps smart, savvy, and motivated business owners like you kick it up a notch online, even if you've tried and been disappointed before, or technology just isn't your thing. Act Local will leave you with more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives you the power to bring your business to the next level. And now here's your host, digital media maven, Kaylin Amadio.
Welcome back. This is Kaylin Amadio, and you are listening to Act Local Marketing for Small Business with a returning guest today. I'm so happy that Fred McClymans could make time for us today. Fred is a business and market advisor with a really diverse background and experience that ranges from startups to executive boardrooms and from small businesses to global enterprises. Fred is the managing director of the McClymans Group, a firm that helps businesses uncover and understand the voice of their customers, their competitors, and their market, developing business, product, and digital marketing strategies that strengthen their brand and their market position. Fred is also a principal in the Intelligist Group, a consultancy that helps develop brands through advocacy and community engagement. Now, over the course of his career, Fred has worked within a number of different industries and has helped guide a wide range of organizations from local businesses to global enterprises. In addition to his work at firms such as Gartner and Ernst & Young, Fred is also a startup veteran, including the global market intelligence and analyst firm Current Analysis, which he founded in the late 1990s to provide real-time analysis and insights on trends and events in the digital technology and services markets. Now, some of his recent clients include ESPN, where he assisted with social fan engagement strategies, and Clarabridge, a leader in the customer experience management market, where he helped infuse an element of customer-centric understanding into their business and marketing strategy. Now, I want you to know that you can find Fred on my beloved Twitter. Fred and I talk on Twitter all the time, and you can find him at Fred McClymans. I'll spell it for you, FredMcClimans. And don't worry if you're driving and you can't take notes. It'll be on the show page. You'll be able to click through to Fred. Or you could visit his blog site, fredmcclymans.com, and we'll put a link to that. Fred, I am so happy you could make some time for us. How are you?
I'm doing well, Kaylin, and I'm so glad you could make some time for me as well.
Oh, thank you. I'm really excited, actually, about the topic that we're going to discuss today, the topic you want to discuss, market influence, and especially buyer personas, because I talk about buyer personas. You know, I'm always trying to bring everything back to the local business owner, you know, all the moms and pops in the world, all the brick and mortar, all these small businesses, sometimes really, really, really small businesses, and they're both B2C and B2B, but they don't always think to use the large corporation techniques of marketing at their local level. And buyer personas is one of those things that you know the big guys do. They have to, you know, and when you're spending those kinds of dollars, they're definitely doing buyer personas. But I don't think that local business necessarily understands that. So I'm excited to talk about this today. Now,
you know,
go ahead.
It's interesting because, you know, you're right. People at the smaller level, at the local, as you put it, the mom and pop store, they very often overlook some of these techniques. But at the end of the day, it's really about understanding your customer and making sure that you understand not just who they are, but how you're targeting them and the value that you're offering to them. And that has to be consistent, whether you're a small business of one person or you're a global corporation of 10,000 people. You still have to have that customer focus.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And you know what's charming about small business, local business, right, mom and pop, is that brick and mortar, mom and pop, they can absolutely have their thumb on the pulse of their community. They might have a very, very good understanding, really, of who their customer is. But that doesn't mean that they formalize it in any way. And that doesn't mean that when the day comes that they want to retire or they want to sell their business, they want to hand it to someone else, that they put it in some sort of form that they can make someone else understand so that business can be taken over and continue to thrive and grow. It might be something that's just inherent in them because they're part of the community. And it's something that they need to think about if they don't want to just close the doors when the day comes to retire. And that's a
Absolutely.
Choice, too.
It is. But I can tell you, I've got a friend that recently was involved in a transaction like that. There was an established local business here, and they changed owners, and they made sure that there was a transition period of about 6 months that took place so that they could get comfortable with the business. But at the end of that process, they started to change the customer base. And it wasn't necessarily intentional. It was more that the person who acquired the business, they had their own view of the marketplace and people that they knew and so forth and people that knew them. And that didn't quite mesh with the existing customer mix, you know, and their original thought was, well, the new customers will add to the existing customers. And what really took place is there was a little bit of that, but there was more of a swapping out process.
Yeah.
And that was very disruptive to the business.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me. And I think it might also explain why sometimes in a family held business, the second generation or the third generation, when one generation decides to, you know, leave the business, things change. And I think it falls into the same category. But you and I have so many things that we'd like to cover today, and I know our time is limited. So I want to get to our first question. And we always need to, you and I get excited when we talk about this stuff, but I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. So let's talk about market influence and buyer personas by starting with what is the voice of a market and why is it important that we understand what that is and how to identify it?
You know, we often talk about the voice of the customer, the person that's buying or consuming your products or goods or services. But I think it's really important to understand that voice of the customer, your customer, even your prospect or your partners, they all exist within a much larger ecosystem of the entire marketplace. And understanding the signals that are coming out of that marketplace is fundamental to understanding who your customers actually are and who your prospects are, the people that you're trying to target within that. So when I think about the voice of the market, it's important for me to identify, you know, who are the players that actually make up that marketplace. And this is very consistent whether you're a small mom and pop or a global, multinational corporation. You can usually break down the marketplace in a very straightforward manner. So, follow me here for a second. You are the provider, you're the store owner, the shop owner, the business owner. You have a direct group of people that you engage with every day. Those are your employees. For some people, that may be, you know, a very small staff. It may be family members, but they are essentially part of your business. And that's important to understand that the influence you have over them is very high, and the influence they have over you is also very high. The next level, as we move beyond that, are your partners, the people in your business that are either helping you create your product and your services or are helping you deliver your product and services to other people. Moving beyond that, you get to your customer base. Your customers consist of people that exist within the much larger market. I mean, most people, you know, they say we'd like to have 1% of the market or 10% of the market. But those customers do come out of the general market pool, and they are influenced by everything else that takes place in the market. Moving up the chain a bit, you go from customers to your prospects, people that you would like to sell to or you're in the process of trying to entice into your store. Prospects, of course, come from the larger pool of consumers at large. If you're a small local business, those are the people in your immediate town, or they may be the people that you connect with across Facebook or through your website or your e-commerce site. Those consumers at large, they have several groups that influence them tremendously in their day-to-day lives. And those three groups there are primarily media outlets, people that are doing advertising, they're doing commentary, they're doing news stories. And that media can be anything from a small local paper to Google, you know, if they're searching on the internet. And I think it's important to recognize that online search engines, they do a very good job of targeting local search results to consumers these days. So that's it's a very important element. And people typically don't think of media in that way, but it does need to be included there. The second group that influences your consumer base are, you know, the bloggers out there, the people that are watching the local marketplace, the people that people recognize by name. And that could be a celebrity, or it could be somebody that does reviews in the local paper, or it could be a business person that's extremely outspoken or influential in some way within that local community. Or it could be that person on Yelp who keeps giving great reviews to the shop down the street. And then, of course, the third group that influences your consumers directly, those are your competitors. Those are the people that you are trying to compete against for mind share and for share of wallet within your consumer base. And then there's some larger elements that take place within the market where you may have, you know, other events that are competing for you, the attention of your consumers as well, that don't directly compete with you, but sort of indirectly compete. You know, and a great example there would be if you're a motorcycle shop and you know who your audience is, you're selling motorcycles, that's great, but you need to recognize that you also compete against automobiles. They're not a direct competitor, but they're an adjacent competitor to you. And just about everybody has an adjacent competitor. If you're a restaurant, your adjacent competitors are grocery stores.
You know, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that before. So, you know, back up one level in the outline, so to speak, and, you know, motorcycles, transportation. So you're saying that cars and boats and RVs are all, what did you call them?
They're adjacent markets.
Adjacent markets.
Yeah.
Yeah, because people are trying to decide exactly how they need to spend their dollars for different reasons. It's not always necessity. Sometimes it's, you know, just desire.
Oh, sure, absolutely. Yeah. And that's where it becomes important to understand, you know, the people that you're targeting with your business. What's their motivation? What are they really looking to do? Are they looking for something to eat, or are they looking for a great piece of entertainment for the evening? And, you know, understanding that subtlety there can actually help you carve out, you know, your brand a bit stronger within the marketplace and potentially help you against, you know, some of the other influences, you know, that are out there. You know, another good example of an adjacent marketplace is in the vacation, you know, space where, you know, the family goes out and they say, we're going to have a summer vacation and we're going to go, you know, to this particular location or locations or places that we would like to see. They're also influenced, their decision to spend money at your local shop is influenced by, you know, say the Carnival Cruise Line deal that might come along through Costco. They may not I've been thinking about that, but that's certainly in the larger pool of vacation spaces influencing what they do and where they spend their money moving forward. And that's a directly adjacent marketplace there. But then there are others that kind of, you know, touch in other areas or things that impact your marketplace, the non-adjacent markets, where you may see something that, you know, the family decides, well, we're not going to take a vacation this year because we spent more money on a car and we dipped into our vacation pool. Mm-hmm. So those have an influence, but we're not necessarily concerned with them. We're more concerned about players that exist within your market and in the immediate adjacent marketplace.
Okay, that's very interesting. I could see that we could end up talking about this for a while because you're making the wheels turn in my head because of the impact that thought process has on differentiating yourself, you know, in your marketplace. But I don't want to get too off track here. So, excuse me. So we're talking about, you're calling that a customer ecosystem. Is that correct terminology?
Yes. So within the market, it would actually be a market ecosystem that exists. And then from a vendor perspective, from a store owner or a proprietor, you would look at that as your vendor, or I'm sorry, your immediate ecosystem, and your customers play a role within that ecosystem.
Okay. So if I can understand my market ecosystem, the market intelligence, and the different influencers that are within that market, now, how is that going to help me target my customers? We've already started to talk about this a little bit, but let's go a little more in depth.
Right. So if you understand that you're competing for the attention of your customers along with everybody else in that marketplace, you need to recognize where your influence is the strongest with potential customers and what they're trying to, you know, what they're looking for in the marketplace. So, you know, understanding who these different groups are allows you to say, these are the groups that I'm actually going to listen to. So when, you know, when we talk to companies that are trying to identify their customer base, their wants, their needs, you know, the goals that they have so that they can better serve that customer, it's important to recognize that those customers, those potential customers, whether they're customers today or they're prospects or they're just still in the large, you know, general consumer marketplace, they're being influenced by these other groups that are out there. So understanding what these other groups are saying is very important. You need to understand how your target is being targeted by other people, in essence. So we try and, you know, we try and identify what those other voices are that are out there. So I'll give you an example here. If I'm looking at, you know, a local business, I'll go back to a restaurant, and we're trying to identify what signals are already out there on the marketplace so that we can better identify the customers that we're trying to target. We want to understand what noise are we hearing in the marketplace, whether it's on Yelp, whether it's on Facebook, whether it's on, you know, local review sites, that's coming from these various organizations. How much of it is actually coming from consumers that might actually fit the target demographic that we're looking to reach? How much of that noise is actually coming from competitors? And how much of that noise that's out there is actually coming from those other influencers that are, you know, out there in the marketplace trying to do the same thing that you're trying to do, you know, trying to shape a market to make yourself attractive to the customer base that you are trying to target. So
right.
By identifying who you're really competing against for, you know, for share of time and share of mind out there, it allows you to identify what they're saying and then to focus in on the signals that are important to you. Because if you think about it, you know, a lot of times when people go into the digital space and they start to listen, there's too much noise. And being able to identify where those sources of noise are coming from, where that digital traffic is coming from, or where that word of mouth is coming from, allows you to identify the customer base that you really want to target and understand the messages that they're dealing with.
So how do we do that? How do we listen to the market? How do we attune our ear to the right places?
Well, you know, it's interesting because when you think about, you know, listening to the marketplace and this is something that's very big in the consumers, you can do that in several different ways. One of the more common ways that people listen to the marketplace, especially if they're dealing with their own consumer base, so their own customers, is through surveys. they ask them a question. They may ask them a question at point of sale, or they may have one of those suggestion boxes. I still see those occasionally where they ask you, would you mind filling out a small survey? We see them increasingly on receipts. I go to the hardware store, would you mind filling out a survey? I go to the local restaurant, would you mind filling out a survey on the back of the receipt? That's one way that you can listen out there. The other way is you can identify in the digital space where people are actually talking in your community. And, that, again, if you think about the internet or the interwebs, as we like to often joke about it, there are many different sources, out there. And people that are local within your community, and here's sort of the interesting thing, people that are local in your community may not be talking local in your community. They may be talking elsewhere. They may be talking on Twitter. They may be talking, your favorite. They may be talking on Facebook. They may be talking on Yelp. They may be talking up on, OpenTable. They could be talking on some blog site that belongs to some other community way somewhere else. But they're having a conversation about the things that are important to them that impact your business. So the first thing you need to do is you just need to be active. You need to, if you're a small business, you do need to be, plugged into the various social networks that are out there. And you need to start to identify, and Facebook is actually a very good way to do this, the businesses that are local to you, and start to watch what people are saying about those businesses. Because very often in a local environment, you can start to identify, a subset of the larger community that communicates regularly amongst themselves. And I've seen that locally here. There's a wine shop that opened up down the road from us. When you go to that Facebook page and you look at who's participating in the conversation, who's actually having a dialogue there, you start to realize that there's significant overlap between the people that are, friends or like that particular establishment, the wine shop, and people that like several restaurants down the street and certain entertainment venues. And you can extend that out from there because all of these people, they buy other things as well. So I can draw a direct connection between people that I see communicating about the wine shop to people that buy, home goods at Home Depot.
So interesting.
Yeah, I'd like to say there's a science to it, but at this point, it's still very evolving out there because things are changing very rapidly. But you just need to find the people that are local and just listen and then have a dialogue with them and communicate.
Right. And what popped into my head while you were talking about the relationship between these various groups of people locally is that not everyone within a community is online using digital. Believe it or not, right, Fred? Not everybody's online, or they're at least not online having conversations. So it wouldn't be uncommon for the people in a community who do like digital and do like being online to be talking to each other everywhere. Mm-hmm. About the things that they like and want. So we're just really talking about one methodology. That doesn't mean at the local, I'm always worried about the local business level. It doesn't mean locally that there aren't other ways that you should be within your community and permeating your community and finding out where they're hanging out and what they're doing. Because yes, not everybody's online. I'm not gonna debate that point.
No, but, absolutely. It's important to recognize that we have social word of mouth, but we still have traditional word of mouth, especially for the local business, where people communicate face to face. They see each other in the store, or they run into each other out at a restaurant somewhere. One of the things that that I love to see in our local community here are the community fairs, the community events that take place. There's a tremendous amount of conversation that takes place there, and I think people in a rush, to kind of move into the digital space, they often overlook the value of just participating within the community itself. And
that,
just being present and being available is a phenomenal asset.
And that's a good point that can stand on its own. Now, let's talk. We started out saying I was excited to talk about buyer personas. So now that we've identified how we should be analyzing our market, so to speak, so that we understand it. What is a buyer persona, and how does it relate to this market that we're defining?
Right. So a buyer persona, in fact, I'll step back up. A persona in general is sort of a representation of an individual or a group of individuals that we use to identify, a particular target group. The easiest way for people to think about this is to think about demographics, which is a framework for identifying the characteristics of a particular group, you know, the age, the location, the education, the interests, and so forth. With a persona, what we do is we actually create a model of our ideal customer. And I'll start here with the customer space because that's typically where you see buyer personas employed. So we're going to look at a particular group and we're going to say, in fact, I'll give you a great example here. We'll go back to the restaurant example here. You open a restaurant, you have Italian food. And what you need to do is you need to identify who your ideal buyer is. Who's the person that's going to come into the store and enjoy your food and then go tell their friends about it. So we're going to create a bit of a story and some characteristics about this particular person. We're going to identify, you know, some of the things that are driving them to, in this case, you know, go out for dinner. What are some of their needs? Well, they're hungry. There's somebody that perhaps they live locally. They may work remotely. So at the end of the day, they want something that's available. Are they married? Yeah, they're married. They have, two kids. We're a family restaurant, so we want those kids coming in. We want to understand how much money they're making because that's going to influence what they actually buy on our menu, how much money they have to spend. We're going to look a little bit about their interests, their drivers, some of the challenges that they face throughout the course of their day that we can actually potentially work into our restaurant. If they're really concerned about noise, for example, during the day, we're going to eliminate noise in our restaurant. We're going to tailor that there. So what you end up doing is you create this sort of ideal customer. If you said every person that walks into my restaurant looks exactly like this, can I satisfy their needs and their desires? And in creating that persona, that sort of a conglomeration of all the people that come into the store and their common attributes, we can then identify what are the core things that we actually need to deliver in our restaurant in order to attract that person in, to make them feel comfortable, to make them feel that we understand what they're looking for, and for them to be able to look at our restaurant and say, yes, this is what I'm looking for here. I'm looking for that nice little quiet slice of time at the end of the day. I'm looking for a nice meal with my family, and we can deliver on that. And that allows us to actually make sure that the message that we're sending out, the promise that we're offering up to the customer, here's what you're going to get at our restaurant, that we can deliver on that promise and that we're consistent in that promise. So that's really where you look at a buyer persona. In some cases, you'll actually see buyer personas stretched out into more of a journey map, where people will actually say, our ideal customer just drove, 45 minutes in rush hour traffic. They needed something to eat. They went home. They didn't have anything in the store or in the refrigerator. The grocery shop was too far, so they decided to call our restaurant for carryout. Here's what we delivered. Here's the satisfaction, and so forth. So you can actually infuse a bit of the customer journey into that persona as well.
Right.
But really identifying the basic demographics and the drivers and the desires. Why is this person coming to your restaurant? Allows you to then target that person.
And I will tell people listening, if this is a new concept to you, don't be surprised, because I've seen it happen time and time again. Don't be surprised if you sit down to do this, to try and construct an ideal customer or a buyer persona, and you really start to make them into a real individual, and they turn out looking just like you. That often happens. That doesn't mean it's always the case, but it often happens that your ideal customer is someone who's very much like you. Mm-hmm. That's just the way it is.
Absolutely, I've seen that. And you bring up an interesting point here about visualizing the image. When I create personas for an organization, whether it's a small business or a large business, we get down to the level of detail of actually putting a face and a name to that persona. You know, this is Joan. Here's Joan's age. You know, here's what she's accomplished in her life, and here are the things that she would like to accomplish in her life.
Especially because people need to understand they could have more than one persona, depending on their business. They very likely might have more than one persona. So having a picture and a name to go with them so that you can keep straight, okay, here's what we're doing for Joan today, and here's what we're doing for Jack today, and here's, you know, because it might be different for each of them.
Absolutely. So now, you know, extend that out a little bit. If you think about, you know, we'll go back to the marketplace again and how you might actually employ a persona process here. We talk about buyer personas, but it's also very important in my work to actually identify or create a persona for the other people that are influencing your marketplace so that you understand what they're doing and the impact they might have on you and whether or not you can leverage that or whether you need to counter that in your market. So a real good example, an easy one that I always suggest, are your partners. And if you go back to that original, to that influence, you know, the ecosystem map that we talked about earlier, let's start working through that. You need to identify not just who your multiple consumers are, because you do have multiple consumers. It's very rare that you have just one ideal target customer within your organization. So we're going to look at multiple customers there, and then we're going to look at our partners, and we're going to identify what are the ideal partners that we want in our business. So you know, we'll go back to the restaurant example here. That seems to be working for us, and I'm getting very hungry, by the way. So we'll go back to the restaurant. I need, you know, fresh produce for my store. So I have probably three or four different choices, ideally, that I might get that from. But I'm going to actually look at those partners, and I'm going to have to evaluate which partner do I really want to bring into my business. So think about for a moment, what's your ideal partner? Where are they located? What's the breadth of the product that they can offer? What might happen, you know, at various times of the year seasonally with their produce and their goods? What type of business do they run? Are they another local business? Are they a regional business or perhaps even a national business that services your area? If you can identify the characteristics that are important to you, that creates the framework for that partner persona. And then putting attributes against the partner persona, what are they looking for ideally? Make sure that you actually match that is very important. If they're looking for somebody that's going to buy you know, $100,000 worth of produce over 6 months, and you're a much smaller shop, you need to take that into account. So creating a bit of a framework around the partner can help you select the right partner for your business, you know, as you move forward there.
Right. Now hearing you talk about a vendor or a partner in that way, makes me think of the B2B space, right? So a lot of small business owners, a lot of, you know, local businesses are actually B2B, you know, like I am. I'm a B2B consultancy, right? So how can we use the concept of buyer personas when our targets are actually other businesses?
So One of the common issues that we run into when we translate from a pure, you know, commercial user to a business user is, you know, people often forget that they need to take into account the sort of the goals and the drivers of the business and the role that that person actually plays within the business. So, you know, I'll step back to a different example here. I recently had to go through a cell phone swap. I think for about the 15th time in the last 5 years, I cracked my cell phone. So I needed a new cell phone. So, you know, I go to the store and I start looking for things that I want. Well, you begin to realize, looking at the advertising, that's a consumer good. You know, it's something that just about everybody buys. And when a cell phone is launched into the marketplace or a new tablet or some type of tech accessory like that, that organization, they identify, you know, one to three or four ideal targets for that particular product. They want to know exactly why this person is going to buy their particular product, and they want to influence them to make that decision for that. It's purely about an individual. Now, if you step back and go, well, what about organizations that buy, you know, cell phones, you know, in mass for their internal organization? Now we get to a different level. Now we're talking about a corporate buyer. Now, that corporate buyer has a lot of the same characteristics potentially that the consumer buyer does, but they're constrained by the needs of the business. And if you don't think businesses, you know, have a personality, think again, because businesses very often have very distinct personalities based on the ownership structure, the management team, the employees. I mean, it's, you know, businesses, you know, you may say, well, they're in the same business, but they can have a very different way of doing business, a very different culture within their organization.
Right.
So we want to translate that basic buyer persona, and then we want to put a layer of business goals and drivers. What is this business trying to achieve? So we can develop a product, a cell phone, that meets the needs of an individual. You know, it's small, it's fast, it has the following type of features because they use it for the following reasons. But then the business, what are their drivers, their financial drivers, their business drivers? Are they trying to expand the use of mobile applications? Or are they trying to control the use of mobile applications? Are they trying to move people off desktop onto tablets? What's their window for purchasing, and how quickly do they obsolete their product to buy a new product? All things that you want to consider and shape around that buyer of your particular product.
Right. Oh, this is very interesting. Fred, if you have a few more minutes, I'd just like to take a quick break, and then I have a couple more questions for you if you have time.
Absolutely.
Okay. This is Kaylin Amadio, and you are listening to Act Local, Marketing for Small Business, with my guest today, Fred McClymans. And we will be back in just one moment. Stay tuned.
Act Local is the place where busy entrepreneurs like you gain more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives them the power to bring their business to the next level. Kaylin returns after a short break with more strategies and techniques to develop your inner warrior. We'll be right back.
Once there was a smart baby boomer that loved her business. She knew that to grow it, she would need marketing. So she went for a search on the internet and came across all sorts of social media. She went on all the sites and opened accounts, but after starting profiles on all of them, she began to feel overwhelmed. To do all the marketing experts told her to do was just too big a task. She needed a change. Because she was a smart entrepreneur, she chose two of the popular social media sites to market her business. But after months and months, it didn't seem to make any difference. And she saw other savvy business owners using different sites here and blogging over there. When suddenly, she noticed more clever baby boomers going to iKaylin.com and leaving so happy, she just had to see for herself. iKaylin.com helped her make a marketing plan to grow her business that wasn't too big and wasn't too little. It was just right.
So close to you right now.
Welcome to Act Local, Marketing for Small Business with your host, Kaylin Amadio. Kaylin helps smart, savvy, and motivated business owners like you kick it up a notch online, even if you've tried and been disappointed before, or technology just isn't your thing. Act Local will leave you with more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives you the power to bring your business to the next level. And now here's your host, digital media maven, Kaylin Amadio.
Hey now, this is Kaylin Amadio, and you are listening to Act Local, Marketing for Small Business, with my friend Fred McClymans on the show today from the McClymans Group. We are having, at least for me, a fascinating discussion about marketing, markets, buyer personas, how to apply this knowledge to your business so that you know whether you're or not you're actually reaching those individuals and those businesses who are your ideal customers. So, Fred, we were getting into talking about finally what a buyer persona is, whether you're a B2B or a B2C. So give me some more ways that I can be using the buyer. We've talked about a ton of them already, but just, you know, give me a list of the ways that I could be using a buyer persona.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, if you sit down and, you know, the first thing you're going to do is to, you know, create your ideal customer, you know, and you're going to look at, you know, a bit of their demographics and the things that make them a person that they are. And it's very important to actually remember that you're creating, you know, an outline of an actual person here, because you want to understand everything about them so that you can match your product to their needs. And they, in turn, can match their needs to your particular product or your service that you're offering. So as you create this this persona of this particular buyer, this ideal buyer, or multiple buyers if you have multiple customers, one of the things you're going to want to do is you're going to want to take a step back and say, now that I've created this person that's ideal, does this person actually need what I'm selling? And it's a very fundamental question that a lot of people, you'd be surprised how many, actually look back and they go, you know, we're not quite aligned here. Mm-hmm. You know, this is who we think our ideal target customer is, but in reality, our product mix is a little bit different.
Right.
You know, from
that. And
that
actually wouldn't surprise me at all. It would be important for people to go through this process, because I bet that happens more often than not.
Absolutely. So one of the ways and one of the reasons that you want to get deeper into the story of this person and not just say, well, you know, we're looking for people that drive by this road at this time of day, but understand why they're there, is because then you can place your product into their lives and you can actually look at it and say, does this fit or does it not fit? So let's take the next step here. We want to actually target somebody with a message. We're going to create a message now that goes out, and we can advertise at a local fair. Maybe we're going to participate in some other event, or maybe we're going out to Facebook or Yelp, or we're doing some kind of outreach to open a dialogue and communicate with the potential customer. We can then ask ourselves, is the message we're sending out something that they're actually going to hear? And is it actually something that they might find interesting? Again, you want to put yourself in the position of this buyer, this persona that you've created. Can you actually see them listening to this, you know, objectively? You know, when are they going to listen to it? You know, here's a great example. When somebody's trying to figure out, when am I going to try and reach out to this particular customer? Well, if you've defined who they are and their interests and the type of activities they're commonly involved in, and again, remember, it's a representation of your target customer base, that will tell you things such as when they are available. When do they have their free time? When are they looking online? You know, what they're online, what are they actually looking at? You know, are they communicating on Facebook? What other sites are they going to on Facebook? So you can start to match that up. You know, in turn, one of the things you're going to do is, as you interact with your customers, as they come into your store, as they perhaps say, hey, great job, you know, with something that I just bought, or perhaps they have a problem here, you're going to use that information to kind of continually refine the product that you're offering, or the service that you're offering, or the type of customer service that you're offering to your customer. Again, you know, the persona is sort of a living persona over time, so you want to evolve that as you move forward. And that's the same thing whether it's a customer or whether it's a partner, or even, you know, if it's, you know, some influencer that's out there, you know, in the marketplace, somebody that you want to connect to. Maybe it's a popular local blogger that's writing about, you know, things around your particular area. Understanding who that person is, the type of interests they have, allows you to then start to weave a bit of narrative that is attractive to that particular person into your brand story.
Right. I find this fascinating. I could talk about this all day. You want to do one last thing for me? You're so good at coming up with examples off the top of your head. Take some sort of local business example. Mm-hmm. And you had gone through, you know, market intelligence at the top of the interview and giving us some of those categories. Take us through an example with just some basic steps, right? How am I going to create this actual voice of my market, this influence map, mm-hmm. so that I can see it and encourage that dialogue?
Right. So, you know, I'm a big believer in the use of whiteboards. But for a lot of people, it just comes down to a big sheet of white paper. And what you're going to do is you're going to start, you know, at the left-hand side of that paper and say, here I am. This is me. This is my business. And you're going to start to build out, you know, a series of groups that are going to actually be part of your ecosystem moving forward to the right-hand side of the page. So, you know, let's start with, again, your core group. You have your employees. Who are your employees, you know, as a group? What type of employees do you have within your organization? They're the ones that you have the most influence over, and you really want to listen to what they're saying because those employees are dealing with your customers on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So we're going to identify the employee group. Then we're going to look at our partners. Who are our partners? And then we're going to start to look at who are our potential partners out there in the marketplace. And so you've got your partners on, you know, to the right of your employees. And then above that, you've got potential partners. And start writing in some names there. Start looking at who those players are in your local community.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the next level to the right, our customers. Well, who are our existing customers? Who are they typically? And who are the people that we would like to attract as customers? And you'll start to recognize as well, as you start moving from the left to the right, the amount of influence that you have over those individuals decreases because they're a little bit farther away from your organization. And if you do encounter a particular group, you think, I really want to target this group. What you want to do then is you want to figure out a way to actually target a message to that group or an outreach to that group so that you can establish a stronger, you know, influence relationship with them. So moving beyond that, once you've got your customers and your potential customers, your prospects, you want to take a look at then, you know, further to the right, what are the things that are influencing those customers? What are the other businesses that are out there, your competitors? Who are the other influencers that are in the marketplace? And where are the media types? Where are these people listening and getting their information from? And if you can map that out from, you know, left to right, going employees, partners, customers, prospects, larger consumer marketplace, media sources, influential people, and then your competitors in there. You get this nice map left to right, and you start to fill that in with who those people are. And that really lays out the ecosystem of your market that you exist within.
Right. Wow. And it sounds like so much work, Fred. That's why people need you.
And it, but, you know, Kaylin, it's not that much work. It really isn't. Everybody can sit down and they can map this out for their business. You know, and again, once you have a better understanding of the market that you live within, that you exist within, that your customers exist within, you start to see more of these, you know, more of these connections in place, and it opens up new opportunities for you. You know, there was a local organization, a friend of mine, opened up a small pub, and they found out that a lot of their customers, you know, they would come to the pub. Obviously, they'd sit down, have a couple drinks after work or with their friends and family on the weekends. But they had a very strong group of people in that space that were sports fans. Their kids, very involved in local sports. So they started going out and they started promoting more family days, more family restaurant days, family picnic type days with that. And they started doing that with some of the sports stores in the local area. And they built a very strong community there for that. They hadn't really thought about that until they started to actually sit down and map out what are our customers interested in, what are their other interests, and is there a way that we can align our business, which is now a very solid restaurant business, with their outside interests. And it worked very well.
Right, so you can find partnerships, and they might lie in the most unlikely places, but if you don't take yourself through this process, you're never going to understand that, you know, at the local level, where your people really are. This is fascinating, Fred. I know that time is limited, so I don't want to take up any more of yours, but I really appreciate you walking me through this today. I find it fascinating.
Oh, thank you, Kaylin. It's always a pleasure to talk with you. And, you know, this is something, you know, for me, it's a passion, you know, understanding the market, the dynamics of the market, and then turning that into, you know, an actual strategy and then an implementation of how an organization can really become, you know, a part of that ecosystem themselves and not just passively sell into a market, but be part of that market. I mean, that's a very important thing for me.
And that's really the most important thing if you want your business to be successful over the long term is to become, especially at the local business level, I know you might be tired of hearing me say it, but the word local is in there for a reason. You're part of a community. So the more of this that you understand and the more of it you can map out as a strategy, and there's nothing wrong with being strategic about your business. There's everything right about being strategic about your business. And that includes understanding who your people are, where they hang out, other ways to get to them, and then all the other things that we talk about, you know, copywriting, making your messages, you know, speaking to them in ways that make them realize that you're talking directly to them. It builds, but you can't know how to build the rest of your marketing if you don't know who you're talking to. So that's why understanding the voice of your market and being able to come up with these personas is so incredibly important. And I love walking through it with you. Fred McClymans, Managing Director of the McClymans Group. You know, you can find Fred, I'll spell it for you one more time, and it will be on the show page, don't worry. Fred McClymans, FredMcClymans.com. You can find him on his blog there. You can also find him on Twitter at Fred McClymans. And like I said, don't worry, there will be links to both. Fred, I want to thank you very much for taking time to be with us today. And to all of you out there, I really I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you about growing your businesses. I hope you find this information helpful. And you know, we are here every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern with a new podcast to help you grow that business of yours so that you can become a larger part of the trillion-dollar marketing movement that is small business in the U.S. Until next time, I very much want you to take care.
Join Kaylin for more Marketing Madness each week on Act Local Marketing. It will leave you with more ideas, more understanding, and more knowledge about why and how harnessing the internet gives you the power to bring your business to the next level. Act Local Marketing for Small Business goes live every Tuesday at 1 p.m. Eastern and can be found on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and at actlocalmarketing.com. Have a question for Act Local? Email Kaylin at ask@actlocalmarketing.com. That's ask@actlocalmarketing.com. And she may answer you right on air. Make sure to include your name and business website for a free shout out. Don't forget to tell your friends and colleagues about Act Local and leave Kaylin a review at the iTunes store. See you next time on Act Local Marketing for Small Business.